Welcome to the Food for Your Soul podcast, where we apply the Word of God to the hearts of men and women to stoke the fires of your delight in Christ. Here's your host, Dr. D. Richard Ferguson.
Are there some intruders in your life? Unwelcome hardships that have broken into your life right now or causing problems for you? The way you define those hardships can make a night and day difference in how much joy you have today and whether those hardships accomplish their purpose in your life or not. How would you define the word hardship or trial?
You face trouble in your life, you face hardships. Obey the first two commands in the book of James. Number one, consider it pure joy. And number two, let perseverance do its work. So every time you have something hard, something goes wrong, something happens to you, do those two things. And the way you do the first one, the way you consider it pure joy is by knowing something. Consider it pure joy because you know these truths about trials. You have to revert back to your knowledge. You have to know what's good about it. And please don't confuse this with the world's ideas about the power of positive thinking. This is not that. This is not looking at the bright side. This is not saying the glass is half full instead of half empty. It's not about that. It's about understanding what's big and what's little. James isn't saying, hey, when you suffer, just think of your glass as half full instead of half empty. It's not what he's saying. What he's saying is more like, look, when your glass is half empty, stop thinking about the glass and think about the massive reservoir that God has put in your backyard. The bad things that are happening that people are doing to you, that's small. The good things that are happening through this suffering that God is doing, that's big. That's the way we need to think. So command number one is to consider trials pure joy because of what you know to be true about them. Command number two, let perseverance do its work. Let it do its work. Stay there in the furnace until God gives you a way out that doesn't involve compromise, that doesn't involve unfaithfulness. Persevering means enduring the trial without reverting to some sinful response, like anger or self-pity or bailing out of responsibilities or, the big one, complaining. That's the hard one. And that last one, that's the hardest to ever get under control once it starts getting a hold in your life, complaining, because you'll get so you do it automatically. Every time something happens, you complain, and you don't think you're complaining. When I used to have a really bad complaining problem, everyone would point it out to me, man, you're always complaining. And I would say, I'm not complaining. I'm just, you know, observing reality. I'm a realist, you know. But anytime we announce our displeasure about what's going on, that's complaining. And there is no possible way to obey James 1 while you're complaining. You can't do it. You cannot consider it pure joy and be complaining at the same time. It's impossible. So, when things don't go the way you wanted them to go, instead of complaining, instead of getting mad, instead of running away, just stay there in the furnace and let perseverance do its work. And give your attention, while you're there in the furnace, give your attention to what God is doing. Back in verse 2, I told you that the definition of trial is any event that causes grief, sorrow, or pain. That's kind of a dictionary definition. Let me give you more of a theological definition. Theological definition of a trial is this. A trial is an event that happens that causes grief, sorrow, or pain sent or allowed by God to change you. And that last part of the definition, I wish I would have made more of that before, because that's what's really been impacting me in the last few weeks as I've been going through some trials. I'm realizing it's to change me. Every single thing, every painful thing that happens, it's to change me. It's not just that I need to persevere through it. It's designed to change me. I'm one way, and God wants me to be another way. He wants me different. We're always being molded and refined and shaped by the potter's hand. Or to use the language of Hebrews 12, we're being trained. These hardships in your life, they're for training. And training is for change. Nobody trains to stay the same. Right? Training is for changing. If you want to change from being weak to being strong physically, then you get a personal trainer and he puts you through an exercise regimen. And you change. If you want to go from being unskilled at a job to being really skilled at a job, what do? You go through the training. Training is for change. All training is for growth and change. And this training is no exception. And that simple principle just absolutely revolutionized the way that I've been thinking about my trials and interpreting my trials the last few weeks. You get up in the morning, I tossed and turned all night, dead tired in the morning, now because I didn't get any sleep overnight, and instead of just thinking, oh, now it's going to be a hard day. Now my work is going to be difficult. Instead of that, I'm thinking, okay, God did that to change me. He took sleep away last night because He wants my character to be more like Jesus than it was, and so He didn't let me sleep. He wants me to change. Somebody sent me another email criticizing me and saying that I've got bad motives and leaving the church and everything. Why did that happen? God let that happen because He wants me to change. He wants me to change from being the old Daryl with weak, wobbly faith and selfishness and pride and self-confidence and bad attitudes to the new Daryl who can respond to something like that with humility and love and trust in God. He wants me to change. So that email, that hard email, it came from God. Ultimately, it came from God. And He will also be copied when I hit reply. Good thing to keep in mind. I found myself praying this prayer every time lately when something happens, little or big, anything happens to me that's unpleasant. I just say, God, let me be trained by this. Let it train me. The great dinner I was looking forward to, and then it just disappointed. Let me be changed by that. It's a disappointment. Let it change me. Let it refine my faith. Because we found last time, there's nothing more valuable than refined faith, right? And nothing more damaging than weak, patchy, intermittent faith. And yet, every one of us has faith that at some level could be described as weak, patchy, and intermittent, right? You know why that is? It's because your faith is like a piece of gold with impurities and contaminations in it. And there's one way to fix that. A furnace. That's the only way to purify gold. It's got to go into fire and be refined. And some of those impurities in your faith, they're fool's gold. They look just like gold. And you, not even in your most honest moments, can you discern what's real and what's not in your faith. And the only way to discover it is to get into that furnace and just see what melts off. Job 23:10 says, "When He has tested me, I will come forth as gold." That's how it works. How many times just last week did you demonstrate your need for your faith to be refined? Can't think, just ask the people in your household. They might be able to help you with that.
When was the last time you complained, out loud or in your own mind? What were you trying to accomplish by that? To gain sympathy from someone? To express anger? Just pure habit? Do you feel like you gained anything by complaining? Now imagine how it would have been different if you had been thankful instead. Thankful for the countless blessings God lavished on you, and yes, thankful for the trial itself, because it was a good thing sent by God to change you and refine your faith. Is there a trial you're going through right now? Say it to yourself, out loud if need be. This is a good thing sent by God to change me. Say it. This is a good thing sent by God to change me. Then give some thought to how it should change you and thank God for sending it.
Thank you for listening. If you found today's episode edifying, why not share it with a friend? This season of the Food for Your Soul podcast features excerpts from our sermon series on the book of James. 50 expository sermons covering every verse. You can find those and hundreds of other sermons for free download on drichardferguson.com. And if you like listening on your phone, download our free Food for Your Soul mobile app. Until next time, rejoice in the Lord always and set your mind on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God.